All right, 7:05, hour number two, Built Ford Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I promise we'll get to the calls in a couple minutes, too, because like I said, I do think they're somewhat relatable. But you know, we were talking about the Yankees and Aaron Boone, and it kind of went in a direction I wanted to go in here at 7 o'clock. And I know CeeLo's going to have all the sound coming up at 7:25, so I'm not going to play it, but I promise you he's going to play the sound of Sal on Thursday. And what I'm referencing is a caller. You know, Anthony Volpe has had a tough go, which we know. And a caller called up to Sal, who was hosting Solo on Thursday, and basically was blaming outlets like WFAN, hosts, callers, fans, but a lot on us for calling out players when they struggle. And he basically, his example was, you know, Gleyber Torres. I don't exactly remember exactly what the caller said, but he said, you know, Gleyber Torres really struggled here at the end. He goes to Detroit. What's changed? Because he's playing great. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not here anymore. Now, last time I checked, they've got pretty good sports radio in Detroit, too. And I'm sure if Gleyber Torres was struggling, they'd be on him as well. But I understand what the caller is trying to say.
It's a different dog.
Yeah. Different dog for sure.
Yeah.
And I literally put this down for 7 o'clock because I thought the perfect person to ask would be someone like yourself or Boomer. That kind of understands what the player is going through and how real, you know, things like what we do are in the locker room. And it is magnified, I don't even think tenfold, but 100-fold now with the social media. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be they booed Mickey Mantle, they booed Joe DiMaggio. And yes, you might have a columnist that might write a bad article, but like that was it back in the day. Then WFAN is born, and now you've got not only hosts, but fans screaming and yelling, and that's really all you dealt with pretty much, right? Was the sports radio aspect of it?
Sports radio, and obviously the beat writer.
And the newspapers.
And then the avid fan, that was it. Newspaper, right. Of course.
But yeah, your career ended before social media really took off to where it is now, which is just a cesspool. Well,
yeah, I wrapped up in 16, so it was really, really starting to take off.
Right.
But it wasn't what it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
In just 9 years, I mean, it's through the roof.
100%.
And so I listened to the caller, I listened to Sal, and it's, you know, you want to take one side of it, but I got to tell you, I see both sides. I see the fact that Anthony Volpe is a 24-year-old mm-hmm. that has immense talent. He, for the most part, has played a very good shortstop. Yeah, he's had some issues this year, but for the most part, he's been a really good shortstop. The hitting hasn't been what we've expected or needed. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. Fair enough. You got to be better. I'll be the first one to say you got to be better. But I also think when I look at a lineup that's got the likes of Aaron Judge, now Giancarlo Stanton, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, Jazz Chisholm Jr., for this to all of a sudden be all on Anthony Volpe to me is unfair. But I also can see how the kid can get in his own head by things like this and us and social media. Fair or not fair?
It's fair, but I also think, you know, just to kind of layer it up a little more, we're in a time where ball players who play the game have a voice, meaning because they're on podcasts, mm-hmm. YouTube channels.
Sure.
So it hits different when a guy like a Gilbert Arenas or, you know, even, you know, Carmelo has a 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn podcast. These are guys who were respected in their sports. Now they're having platforms with other athletes who played all have an opinion alongside me and you. Right. And so, yeah, I may tell Jerry to bleep off or whatever, but it's different when the guy like Carmelo, who's an all-star, has an opinion about me and my game, because not only was he better than me, but he's lived the lifestyle and he's dealt with the pressure in the same market. So it's just different. I think for Anthony right now, being 24 years old, playing for the Yankees, the expectation that comes with it, being a part of that lineup, I think a lot of it too is he was a fan of the Yankees. Right.
And so when you grew up here.
So yep. When you're playing for a team you rooted for and you understand the history and expectation that comes with it, the turnoff necessarily doesn't come from the outside source. It's because of what you expect out of yourself and what it means to wear that jersey.
But can you separate that, though? Can you separate what you expect from yourself and the expectations? Because I would think nobody wants more for you than you.
100%.
That having been said, you're also hearing it from every direction. And every platform.
The health, most people would tell you to just turn it off and not pay attention to it.
But can a 24-year-old do that?
A 24-year-old, like most 24-year-olds right now, their biggest issue is social media. That's the biggest issue with Sauce Gardner, who I love Sauce's game. I know he's looking for a new deal. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I would tell him to do is like, hey, man, take your phone as far as you can and throw it into the Hudson River.
Yes.
And never pick it up again. If people want to contact you, they will be able to get to you, especially people close to you. I always appreciated what Baker Mayfield did when he left. I think it was whatever his last team was before he got there, before he landed in Tampa. He said, man, I was at a point in my career where I was getting teased for having more commercials than touchdowns. And I realized I had to do a self-audit. And when I did my self-audit, I had to turn my social media off because it was losing me money. It was losing me credibility, not amongst just the media, amongst my peers, mm-hmm. people who I was going to battle with. So he said, I turned off the social media. He lands in Tampa. Now we look at Tampa, we look at Baker Mayfield as a guy solely because he turned off his social media. And so for a lot of young guys, especially a 24-year-old kid who's, one, like you said, grew up loving the Yankees, playing for the Yankees, we know what happened with him last year, and now his dad's involved. Because that was the hardest thing for me when I played. I had to tell my own family, stop, you know, they would see things or hear things on social media. I'm like, man, don't clap. My own wife, I think one of my ex-teammates said something on social media about me during my time with the Jets, and she clapped at him. And I said, we don't do that. Like that, we don't do that. We ignore it because anybody that really has something to say will text you. They have your number and say it. So out of that, just leave it alone. But for a 24-year-old guy like Volpe, I would just tell him, turn off your social media. And it's not just going to work and grinding because obviously that's expected, but also do a self audit. What's distracting you outside of doing your job? And I think that goes for anybody in the professional realm. If you got an opportunity to do a self audit, do that. What's distracting you? What's holding you back? What are things you're doing? What are the things you did that you're not doing anymore and vice versa? So it all comes down to the guy in the mirror. But it's tough to turn it off. It's tough to keep family out of it. But it's a lot harder on the ball player today because of everything that looms around them.
And as you said, like it doesn't turn off ever.
There's no turn off.
You know, you want to say you turn off the radio, fine, but we're still going. Okay, then you turn on your phone. And there it is, right in front of you, staring you in the face.
But even when you watch, like, let's say if you're, like, me and you love golf, so we're always watching golf TV. But there's always that side commercial that pops up of some dude of like, oh, Anthony Volpe strikes out again. It's like the little
crawl.
It plays like,
oh, absolutely.
I can't even watch another channel before I pop back up.
I know.
So there is no turnoff. And so I have empathy for these guys. I just tell them right now, do the self-audit, get off social media. And not everything is worthy of a clapback.
Right.
Which guys have to realize.
And by the way, I'm not even sure. I don't even know if Anthony Volpe is on social media.
No.
I don't know what he sees. And the guy's point was, you know, we're constantly, whether he means all of us hosts here at FAN or, you know, the other sports, who knows, maybe the articles he's reading, but it's out there. The other thing, too, is
but he only hears it if somebody's telling him about it. I only heard most of it if somebody saw it.
But that's because you turned everything off.
For the most part, I did.
And as we just discussed, it ended 9 years ago for you on the field when this was really starting to get hot. If you were playing, if Willie Colon was playing now in the prime of his career, let's say you're on the Jets right now and you're 28 years old in this land of social media where, let's be fair, everybody is trying to build their brand so that when they are finished playing, they can start that YouTube show or they can start their product line or whatever the hell it might be or their production company because everyone's got an eye towards the future now. Do you think 28-year-old Willie Colon in 2025 would be able to turn it off?
That's a good question. I think for my own, if I felt that it was hurting me, yes, I would be able to turn it
off. Okay, 24-year-old Willie Colon. And I only bring up the age because I know he's a professional. I get
it. Let me say this. The older I became, the more aware I became. Because when I was younger, I shouldn't be out here. I'm with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They just won the Super Bowl last year. I just keep my nose down and just grind it out. So I wasn't privy to a lot of what was being said about. As I got older and my name got out there and the more success I acquired, I started to bend my ear to what was being said about me. And I did find myself a little more kind of anxious around people who I think had a platform.
Right.
Instead of just being like, man, all right, that's their job. This is my job. Let me just go to work. I started being more tentative around people like that. So, yeah, it's tough.
Oh, it's tough, all right. There's no doubt, and it's one where, you know, I feel for the kid, but I also understand we do have a job to do. Like it or not, we do have a job to do, and if you're not going to perform, it's what's going to happen. It's just it's the nature of the business.
But I also think, too, a lot of what Anthony deals with is, you know, when you're standing on that field, you hear the boozing, you hear the conversations. And when you can hear somebody say Volpe X, Y, you know, whatever's coming out of their mouth. So that leans on you,
but
too.
But then why do I hear from the star player, they will always tell you, I hear nothing. Meaning they're locked in.
They hear
in.
Nothing in the moment when they have to perform.
You're just kind of meandering around the field, you hear everything.
100%. When I'm on the field, I hear nothing. It literally is silent. There's 2 minute situations or fourth and one with on TV, the screen is shaking, and I would say to myself, I didn't hear none of that, right? Because it's just a different frequency. But 100% sure, if I'm sitting on the sideline or if I'm at a TV timeout, I hear it all.
Yeah,
like I hear. I mean, my last name is Cologne, and I heard all type of butt jokes. All type of stuff, right? And so, yeah, I heard all of that. So it's just different.
Oh, the colon joke?
All of it.
Hey, Willie ass.
All of it.
Here's Anthony West Haven. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, the way I look at it today, it's even like when you're a little kid now, you know, and you go to school, these kids are getting bullied 24/7 because of the internet and because of media, and they can't turn it off because it's everywhere. I mean, it's like, that's why I felt so bad for Volpe, because it's in the papers. He's probably hearing it when he goes home. His parents are probably giving him advice and what he should do. And so there's no way you can get away from it. There's no way you can escape it. You know, it's like 24/7. It's got to be in his mind. And you could see him at one point yesterday. You could see how frustrated he was. But after he hit that home run and he was running around the bases and he was getting the high fives at home plate, I felt so much better for him.
You're not wrong. And I will tell you this, Anthony. It's a good thing they won yesterday, too, because you had the whole thing with him hitting Judge in the head with the throw. I mean, had they lost that game and got swept by the Mets, like that got a lot of play on social media, as you can imagine. But we'd be sitting here this morning saying, you know, they get hit in the head and he hits Judge in the head.
Beating the hell out that horse.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everything has just gone.
He didn't hit Jazz Chisholm.
No, he's Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge bloodied him.
Lucky he didn't get him in the eye. You know, you feel for the kid. Duke and Elizabeth, what's up, Duke?
Yeah, hey guys. I don't know if you remember this, but last year Sal had the quest for the Phillies player for sympathy.
Oh, Trey
while
Turner.
He was doing while he was in a slump, and now he won't have give Volpe a chance and not criticize him. Remember that?
You know, yeah, that was Trey Turner where they were saying he should cheer him, and they did. They cheered him in Philly, and he got going in the right direction.
Did he have a little more going on with him?
He might have. I don't know. But and Duke, you're right. That Sal did have that point, but I think both things, they're not quite the same. Sal was reacting to a caller that basically said, we're the reason players don't do well here. And Sal's point was, well, what about, and he gave all the examples of players that have done great things in New York. And that's kind of where the conversation I was trying to guide it to in terms of being able to play in this market. You know, you played in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is not a huge market, comparatively speaking, to New York City. But you can't tell me that there's not as much pressure to play in Pittsburgh as there is to play for the Jets Giants. You just can't. It's got to be similar.
No, it's not.
In Pittsburgh, timeout. Didn't you not tell me that you had an old lady yell at you?
I'm saying the pressure is more.
In Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, I apologize.
And that's my point. Like, we sit here and say New York City, the end-all, be-all, yet I would think in smaller cities, it's almost worse.
It's worse in small cities, 100%. But I want to say this. I think for the fans, I think they also know there's like a little nuance. When a guy chooses to play here, they're not just choosing to play for the respected team. They're choosing to play here because of life after ball. And they understand, like, this guy's not just playing here because he wants to be a Jet Giant. They understand that. If I win in New York, this sets me up to your point earlier, this sets the foundation for life after ball, what I can do, X, Y, Z, the networking and the opportunities that come with it. And I tell everybody, you know, that was the hardest thing when I got to the Jets. I was sitting a lot of these young guys down, like Snacks Harris, like Damon Snacks Harris, Sheldon Richardson, Mo Wilkinson, all these guys. Like, dog, if you win in New York, you're done. Like, I mean, like, you getting steak.
Especially for the Jets.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Seriously. I was like, you bring this team to, if we can lock in and win, I'm talking about free dentists. I'm talking about stepping in. Your wife wants to go to Broadway Theater. There's a phone call you can make. You're sitting in the best seat in the house because you won here in New York. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, I was getting that treatment in Pittsburgh. And Valley's a historic blue blood team and everything that comes along with being a Steeler. But I'm like, it's a different, like, those restaurants you never heard of or you just got is invite only. Now you're sitting in those rooms, right?
Now you're on a list.
Yes. And I was beat, Jerry, I'm going to say it. I don't care. I was in a, we were in a nightclub. It used to be called Finales. It was down at in Chinatown at Lower East Side, man. And I used to go out there. I knew the place really well. And a couple, and I had just got to the Jets. And these young, we were 2013. We were like the second youngest team in the league. So a lot of talent, a lot of young guys, and we were all having a night. I'm just gonna leave it like we're doing everything we were doing, right? And I looked at these guys, and I could see how much fun they was having. Because one, they got money, they got the notoriety. They all, you know, we're all jeweled up, and we everybody notices us. I'm like, so I was like, imagine this feeling right now. Imagine when you win. Imagine this feeling. Like when you win, you get that times five, and you can do it all over the country. So I was just trying to map out to these guys, like, if this is what you love, great. But now let's win. Let's take this winning that we're all here to do, and we could do this everywhere. And then here, it's nuts. And they all looked at me like, yeah, right. Okay, Willie. At that point, I was a little seasoned in my career, so they started calling me OG and Uncle, which is when I knew I was on my last leg. But I was just trying to show them, man, like, man, winning brings a lot.
Yeah.
But you got to win. You can't have the lifestyle without the winning. So,
and you do it here, it could be better than anywhere.
Forget about it.
No doubt. One quick one before the break. Spencer in Miami. What's up, Spence?
Hey, Jerry and Willie. Love when you guys do shows together.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you think maybe we can get Al to whip out his Rolodex and get a hold of Aaron Rodgers, and perhaps we can get Volpe on a darkness retreat during the All-Star break?
He had me holding
the I don't know that's going to happen. I don't know that you've got Aaron's number, but a darkness retreat, why not?
When he said Al whip out, I started to hold my breath. I don't know about anybody else.
I saw his face.
I held my breath the whole time. I was like, Al.
With these calls, you never know.
They're looking for you, Al.
It could have been Rolodex, could have been Wiener. Who knows?
Al, by the way, I'm over here looking up the like things to do in Montana.
Yeah, what you got?
I got nothing. I got this is
his full website. I was just glancing.
Glacier Park looks like the best thing rolling around.
Glacier National Park, beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. Sounds very much up your alley.
A lot of hiking.
I would just take it edible and get weird, brother. Just get weird.
Let's go out into the woods.
Yeah. Just paint a tree.
See some pictures of Al naked walking around Montana.
Right.
This is spaced out with the gummy.
Naked and afraid. Al Dukes edition.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Bill Ford Tub Studio, 728. It is the Boomer and Geo program on a Monday. Willie and Jerry in until 10. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. We'll get back to more of your phone calls in just a couple of minutes. The top part of the program of the hour, though, was about Sal on Thursday, which after, I'm sure, CeeLo does the Mets-Yankee stuff you will get to. So with all of the sound is Chris Lopresti. What's up,
yes,
Chris?
Yes, we will get to that. And no disrespect to Cody Bellinger and his great defensive play from yesterday, which we played for you last hour. But it is time for the Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion. Aaron Judge right in the middle of the Yanks, snapping their 6-game losing streak in multiple ways yesterday.
First pitch from Wandell. Swing on and driven to the gap. Left center field. Gone! The captain rings the bell, a 2-run shot. Yankees having a day. It's 5-0 Yankees. Here's 1-2 pitch. Swung on, hit to right field. Judge got a good jump. He's coming on, sliding catch, and he makes it. Oh, man, he saves the lead here at Citi Field with that play.
That's Dave Sims here on the fan. So he had the 2-run homer. He later added a sac fly, so he drove in 3 of the 6 runs, and the key defensive play there to end the 6th with runners aboard before Bellinger's defensive gem in the 7th. Yep. So Judge, our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com.
Now, he was here. Dave was here years back, correct, Eddie? Way back when?
On the fan, yeah.
Right, it was Dave and Ed Coleman middays.
Yep.
Do you think he got the rings the bell from Minko? Seriously. That's been a Minko thing forever. And that has crept. We've heard more rings the bell than hey now lately.
And a lot of wow, which I cut off at the end of that. He likes to do wow at the end of a play. Yeah.
But rings the bell, it's Minko.
Yeah.
Minko back then?
Yes. Well, he was doing nicknames back then. Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
I don't know if it was Minko's original, but. Hmm.
Maybe Minko stole from Dave Sims.
I was going to say, I mean, we got on this, you got on Dave, well, not you, but it became a thing with Howard Stern, with the hey now. And now, hey, we're gonna say that.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Rings the bell.
Well, because that's not a common, like, yeah, when Minko does it, I don't know anybody else that uses it. Now all of a sudden I've heard Dave do it a few times.
Sure. Mink also will get bingo. He likes that as well.
Right. If we hear bingo in a home run call, then we know it's a Minko thing.
Oh boy.
Or the touchdown area.
All right. That's when you've got to find for Willie. Because he probably has no idea what the hell's going on right now.
I don't know if I have that.
Oh, you find everything.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I find things that I know where they are. I've saved them.
I know you can.
Oh, boy, you're putting a lot of pressure on me.
No, that was Army, was it not?
Yeah, I think Army, Cincinnati, up at West Point.
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea. I mean, maybe Gio's got it buried somewhere in a folder, but.
And the best part of that was Mike and Chris just hammered him on that
Monday. They hammered him a lot of things.
Oh, no, I know, but that was, I remember Mike, touchdown area? Do you mean the end zone?
Nailed it.
It was very funny.
I mean, the Hockey Hall of Fame one, obviously.
Yeah, well,
that was with Mike and Chris.
Yes.
There was also one, this one I know because I have saved.
Steve Cohen drunk.
Well, that, but they were talking to Mink when he used to coach girls softball.
Oh, I remember that.
And they were breaking down. I guess they were giving him a hard time. The team was struggling or pitchers weren't performing or whatever. And they walked him right into saying something that he tried to catch himself.
Was blaming like a girl or something?
No, no. It was just like, the phrase sounded inappropriate when he didn't mean it that way.
Got it.
They were having a field day with him
of
on that.
Of course.
So that
course.
One maybe I could play for you. But any event, Judge, while he was our thriving player of the game, was quick to tip his cap to Bellinger for that lunging grab of a Soto line drive in the seventh.
That was incredible. I've never seen something like that on the field. You know, to come in, you know, especially a guy like Soto who can, I've seen him hit so many line drives over, you know, outfielders' heads when they come in too hard, and you had a perfect read on the ball.
And then the missile throw right on line, head high from left field to Paul Goldschmidt at first base, doubling off Francisco Lindor.
It's just all around a perfect play, and you know, we needed it, especially in that spot. You know, they got the top of the lineup coming up, getting some momentum there, so that was game-saving play right there.
It certainly was, and the Yanks finished off a 6-4 victory with Devin Williams recording the save in the ninth, around a Carlos Mendoza ejection for arguing balls and strikes. But he was proud of his club, battling back from 5-0 down on a day where they tossed a trio of no-name pitchers out there with a chance to sweep the series.
It was a hell of a series, and even on a day like today, the guys fought back. You know, we got down, you know, and they kept fighting. You know, I thought the at-bats were there.
10 hits for the Mets to 12 for the Yanks, but double plays in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings took the wind out of their comeback sail. Mets took 2 out of 3, just as the Yanks did at home back in May, so a 3-3 draw for the season series. Mets come out of it at 52-39. They're a game and a half behind the Phillies, who got a one-hit gem from
Zach Wheeler.
A 5th inning solo homer, that was it. No walks, no errors, he went the distance.
I think he was a complete game his last time out, too, and had 12 strikeouts, I think.
Oh,
was it not?
This was a 12 strikeout.
Oh,
I thought I saw
yesterday.
This was his first complete game since 2021. Maybe it was his first shutout since 2021. Oh, this wasn't a shutout, though.
I thought he had a complete game.
You can check on that while I continue. That's He is 9-3 with a 2.17 ERA. As for the Yankees, 49-41. They're 3 games back at the Blue Jays, who swept the Angels after that 4-game sweep at the Yanks this past week. So the Yankees are off today. They'll host the Mariners tomorrow. The Mets are off as well. They will play in Baltimore.
You're right. Tuesday. So he was 8 innings, 10 strikeouts last game.
And now 9 innings.
This was the complete game, 12 strikeouts. I guess I'm too confused.
8 innings, so 9 innings.
Yeah, his last 2 games. I mean, how about this? I'll give you one better. I'm going to give you his last 1, 2, 3, his last 4 starts. Oh, my God, it's even better than that. All right, last 6 starts. He has gone, in his last 6 starts, he has gone 6, 12. I'm sounding like Mike and Chris right now. 6, 12, 17, and 6 is 23, and 17. His last 40 innings, he has given up 2 runs in his last 40 innings.
Pretty good.
He's an assassin.
And he has struck out 22, 30, a lot.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
A lot.
And he's a little bit of a throwback in that he pitches, you know, he eats up innings. He throws deep into
games. He does. No, he does.
Because you saw...
And he doesn't stop at 100 pitches.
Or less than 100 pitches. Did you see Skeens yesterday from
Pittsburgh?
I did not. Another 5. I think he threw like 80 pitches.
In 5 innings?
5 innings. Yeah. And they lost 1-0.
But you know what, though? That is, and I could be wrong, but watching baseball as long as I have, if you're a strikeout pitcher, in most cases, you're going to throw a lot of pitches.
But my point, I mean, the last 2 outings for Skeens where, again, the Pirates don't score for him, he's gone 5 innings, but the pitch count wasn't super high.
Yeah, but 80 for 5, you're not getting through. You're 6 at best. I'm saying you're not throwing 9 innings.
78 pitches yesterday.
Oh, okay.
5 innings, 5 hits, no walks, 10 Ks.
And that was it.
They lost 1-0. I think his last 13 starts, I saw, he has 1 win and an ERA of 1.72.
Amazing. Yeah, pretty good.
All right, now, quickly, before we do the Sal audio, because this ties in. Anthony Volpe, 1-for-11 this weekend. The one hit was a home run in Saturday's loss, 5 strikeouts. So he's been struggling. He's got the incident where he throws the ball that hits Judge in the face, even though it wasn't, it didn't sound like it was really his fault. So things haven't been going well. I'll admit this is a little tough to hear, audio only. It's actually easier with the accompanying video, but okay. I'm going to play it because it's short, and I'll fill in some of the blanks as best I can. So I don't know how it started, but Volpe's dad is in the crowd yesterday. I don't know if it's his wife or his daughter that's sitting next to him. And he's when the video starts, he's already fired up, and he's challenging this guy who's standing up, seemingly an adult man. Looks like maybe he's got a kid at the game sitting next to him. So I don't know where it started, but they're getting after it back and forth a little bit. You'll hear a few bleeps as the exchange between the two of them was caught on video.
Let's go!
Let's go! Sit down.
Let's go!
Your son is the best. Your son's the best. How bad?
I love that the guy comes in to sing God Bless America right at the end there. So you hear him saying, let's go at the beginning, like he wants to get up and maybe
kick the crap out of this guy.
He's not letting him win a fight.
Now, whoever's sitting with him, again, I don't know if it's his wife, family member, whatever, literally holding on to his arm and eventually puts the arm across his chest because he's pretty worked up. And he tells the guy, the Met fan, who, again, was pointing to his son who's sitting down, looked like maybe teenage years, something like that. So Volpe's dad says, you shut up. So they're going back and forth. A couple of F-bombs. And he called him a scumbag at one point.
And
so
this is where Boomer has talked about how very quickly here in New York, he told his family, you're not going to games anymore. Like, because you hear all of it.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Do you imagine you grow up a Yankee fan? The fans are, they've had enough of you right now for the moment because you're struggling. Your parents are there. You're so happy your kid's a Yankee. And this is what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Not easy.
And as you and I said off the air, it's almost a little surprising that it's a Met fan. You would think could understand some Yankee fans.
Well, but you know what happens here. Hey, Volpe, you suck. And they don't realize they're right next to his father.
Yeah,
right?
None of the fans recognize who the family is. Unless you see a row of people with the same jersey on, you're like, oh, that got to be family.
And he says a couple times, are you bad-mouthing my son? And that's F you. You know,
yeah,
right?
Then, you also got to worry about if your dad gets his tail kicked and you're in a slump. I mean, it's a bad loss. It's a loss for the family.
Well, this ain't a good
point.
Look either.
Yeah.
But I understand what they're going through, and I know why you would get up and, you know, you reach your breaking point.
Sure. All right, now, the Sal audio. So he hosted Solo Thursday, took a call from a guy looking to get after Sal, WFAN, other hosts, and impatient fans for being a big part of why so many young prospects with all that upside flame out here in New York. First clip here. It runs a little long, but kind of sets the stage for where this was all headed.
You guys have to take some responsibility. You guys badger them all day long on this station and Facebook and all social media outlets, and you don't think these players read this? Accept some of the responsibility. They don't come here that way. They leave here that way. Where is Gleyber Torres this year?
Rich.
He's on the All-Star team.
Yeah, okay, he's on the All-Star
team. Why is that? Why?
That's my fault.
Right. No. Oh, but you want to point fingers. You know whose fault it is.
Rich,
it's not yours. It's not the media.
Get lost.
Yeah, no.
Get
you don't want to hear.
Get lost. Bye. Thank you. Get lost. Are you kidding?
All right. So obviously the caller's gone now. And after he said bye to him, Sal related it back to himself and the radio station as well.
Get lost. People say nasty things about us on social media. Oh, I didn't perform today because people were saying I should be fired and I suck, so I didn't have a good show. I need to go to another town to thrive. I just can't take it.
All right, and then he basically makes...
I haven't heard Get Lost in a long time.
No, he likes Get Lost. Yeah. He's big on that, yeah, especially when he gets into it with the callers. And then I think rightfully so, brings up the examples of guys that thrived here who went through struggles along the way and came out the other end of it.
Either ignore it or suck it up. It's not our fault that the players don't perform up to the level of expectation. Did we ruin Aaron Judge? Did we ruin Juan Soto? Or Francisco Lindor? Or Garrett Cole? Or CC Sabathia? I mean, how'd the Yankees ever have a dynasty in the 90s with social media? Although social media wasn't around in the 90s. Cool. How'd the Yankees ever have a dynasty in the 90s with sports talk radio? Oh, the horror.
So
one thing I would say, though, And I know I agree with him to a certain degree that we it's not us. You have to go out and perform. But I do also think that these guys hear it and hear and ingest
it
way
off.
Too much.
They can't turn
and
it
can't
off.
Can't turn it off. Yeah. The one difference is with those names he brought up. Now Soto, I guess he's 26, right? I mean, there's people
still young.
He's, yes.
Yeah.
But
been in the big leagues, eight years.
CC Sabathia didn't deal with any of this. He didn't. Not social media. Us, yes, for sure. It was sports radio, but not social media. Not like it is now.
Maybe not how it is
and
now.
He's not listening to the fan.
Probably not. Nah, I would not think so. So older player, Soto, didn't Lindor. Really deal with it. Lindor, more mature, been through it in Cleveland.
But
he dealt with it early.
Well, that's what he's saying.
But
you
got
know, it
through
didn't
it.
Cripple him. For, you know?
Yes. Let me ask you this, though. Had Lindor been a younger player and didn't have the contract that the Mets signed him to, they might have gotten rid of him when he was so
True.
Bad the first
yeah,
year.
Right.
But he,
it wasn't
and
a
to his credit,
when
he fought
here.
Through it.
Yeah.
I just think you're 24. It's not as easy as turning it off because of the way these kids are programmed today. That's
also, all. And I think a lot has to do with that he's a fan of who's the Yankees. Like
yes.
He grew up being a fan. So
exactly.
There's an extra level of expectation that comes with that. But also, you know, the problem with Volpe is when he left the ballpark, he had to hear about his dad get into it with a fan.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember one time it was a Monday night game against the Bears, and I had his security came down. And he goes, hey, you know, we had a little incident in the stands. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, yeah, my wife almost, you know, she threatened a couple fans, and they almost.
Your wife?
My wife. And then so I'm like, my wife? She's like, yeah, he said, we took care of it. You know, we moved the fans, but everything's fine. I just want to give, you the heads up. I'm like, okay. So I go to, I leave, heading towards the parking lot, go to my car. My wife's standing there, got a little tailgate going. Everybody's happy. And well, not happy, we lost the game. But everybody's like, you know, in good mood. I'm just like, hey, you got kicked out today? She's like, who told you? I'm like, what do you mean who told me? She's like, I was a little dust up. I'm like, dust up? She can't be fighting this dance. She's like, well, it almost got there, but nothing really happened. We're fine now. I'm just like, I think I'm going to limit your access to the stadium.
Yes. Well,
like,
nothing happened because the security guard made
right.
sure nothing happened.
But it just when you're my point to it all is when your family's emotional invested in it, how can they not be?
Right.
That's part of not being able to turn it off, too, because they wear the losses just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are more inclined to listen to the talk radios and the Twitters and all that stuff than you are, right? And so whether they want to bring it to you or not, their mood changes because it's something they read or heard. And then they bring it to you. So now, you know, if you're like me who sits at a table with his family, you're like, man, what's wrong? You know, I wouldn't watch ESPN today. You know, just turn it off. He's like, why not? Well, I'd like to stay away from ESPN. So it's just like, it's hard, man.
They're killing you.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, they're dog walking you out there right now. So it's like, okay.
It ain't easy.
Right. I thought that was 2 weeks ago. Well, they're still on it.
And I would tell you, too, right or wrong, and again, I know this has been going on for 100 years with the newspaper, so this is nothing new. The money attached to these guys.
Yes.
Volpe's not making a lot, but like expectations, you want to make 30. Like, I'm not even joking. I actually said, and I got to take a break. I know.
Yeah.
Max Fried, I said, has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. So I'm going to be very clear about that. But at one point, I'm watching the game yesterday. I said to my wife, like, this guy's making you can't get to the seventh inning. I literally said that watching the game. Like, this is what $40 million a year gets
but
you? And he has. He's earned it. Don't get me wrong.
But Jerry,
it's been great.
You're hitting it right on
the
head.
But the money, it matters.
People will always talk about the contract before the man.
Oh, absolutely.
And for an athlete, that's when we start feeling different. You know what I mean?
Different in terms of, well, hold that thought. You know what? Because there's another conversation there, especially with what's going on in the NBA and the contracts. Hold that thought. Anything else?
I'm earth-shattering? No.
Earth-shattering,
got,
no.
You know, we'll get some more Evan audio.
Okay.
I got Joe B for you. We got some other
I'm sitting here looking at things to do in Montana. Al, I got a whole list for you. You're going to have...
He is set on this.
I think I just got a text message from my mother about something for Al to do in Montana.
Yeah.
Well, looks
there's
like I've got
live on the show.
Nice there's, travel agents.
There's a strip club about 20 miles from where you're going to be.
He's right. Going with his girlfriend.
20 miles.
Oh, well, you know, make it a night.
That'd be perfect.
You guys renting a car?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What'd that cost you?
$900.
Come on.
$900?
Yeah. For 5 days?
Nine something, correct.
Dude, rental car.
Near
what
is
it, a G-Wagon for the day?
Yellowstone ridiculous. In the summertime does not surprise me.
No, that's
really?
Not even.
God.
That's for like a car that I'm even embarrassed to get in. And I will drive a beat-up Subaru.
$900?
Correct.
Yeah. Wow. Rental car prices are crazy right now.
Everything.
I know.
Have you checked hotel prices in New York City recently?
Oh, stupid.
Yes.
Even for like a hole in the wall?
I stayed
$800.
I stayed up here.
It's like $400 for
like
Quinta.
Like, how are they, who's paying for that?
Someone is.
That's what I mean.
Because
it
you can't
blows
even get,
my
there's
mind.
Not even that many rooms available. That's crazy.
You pay anything to cheat on your wife. What happened? Time for a break. Oops, sir.
I'm going to let this sit there. Eddie, hit the dumb button, please.
No. That's where all the hotel rooms are going?
All right, we're very late. We got to take a break. We'll come back. More on that, and then also something he just hit on with everything being expensive. And I promise, Eric, we'll get to your call after the break as well. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, what do you say? Monday. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Fortov Studio. The guys will be back next week. Couple of things here. A couple of calls that we're going to get to in a moment. Also, I'm going to hold off on the money thing with the salaries until 8 o'clock when we come back from the break because it's a better conversation, I think. Before I do the calls, though, real quick, just we do have, if I can take 1 second, we've got the Boomer and Geo golf auction still going. That's going to close on Wednesday, and this is for a golf tournament that I'm helping to run on August 18th in Marlboro, New Jersey, at Bella Vista Country Club for Scott Goldsberry, a friend of mine who's got ALS. It's actually oversold. It's completely sold out. The only way to play will be to win a twosome by bidding. You can go to 32auctions.com/boomer-geo-golf. 32auctions.com/boomer-geo-golf. That's going to be live until Wednesday. And then I think Friday we're going to open up bidding to play with CeeLo and JJ, John Jastrzemski. So we're still trying to raise money for that as we are going through the summer. And you can call if you need more information about that. Next, we're going to get back to the conversation about the money. But two quick calls. Eric in Long Island. What's up, Eric? How are you? Yeah. No, huh?
Well, that sucks.
And you held on, too. Damn it. Abe in New Jersey. What's up, Abe?
Hey, what's up, guys? I heard you were saying there's nothing to do in Montana. I just wanted to say that's completely false.
Well, no, we said we weren't sure. They were looking into it because Al's going there next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Al, like, there's a lot to do in the surrounding areas. If you're into nature, that's what I have to say, though.
Oh, God.
Like, there's a lot of beautiful, like, beautiful sights that you'll stop and be like, this is in Montana? Like, I'm actually in Montana.
So let me ask you
this. It's actually kind of, what's up?
Let me ask you this. So he's going to be, what town are you staying in?
Bozeman.
Is there a lot to do where he won't have to drive far, or is everything kind of an adventure?
Everything's an adventure, unfortunately. Oh, like, you're going to be driving through a lot of nothing. And then you get to places, and it's not even like a... It's hard to call it a town. It's more like the people who work the attractions live in the area. Mm. And then a gas station.
So give me... So Al's going for 5 days. Give me two things that are... He has to do while he's there.
So here's the thing. Like, it is an adventure. You're going for 5 days. I would tell you, you got to visit South Dakota and you have to visit North Dakota. Realistically, it's not too far of a drive.
So let me get this straight. Go to
Montana to go to the surrounding areas. But it's beautiful in the entire area.
And then what is he going to do? What are those two things he's going to do when he goes to South Dakota and North Dakota after traveling to Montana?
He can go see Mount Rushmore. He can go see the Badlands. You can go see the Crazy Horse Memorial.
The Crazy Horse.
There's a bunch of beautiful.
Well, he's bringing his girlfriend. So
yeah,
that's
sorry,
out.
My bad.
You don't got. You just got a hunch point for this, that.
So people would be like, "Al, what was
trying to drive through this crazy storm?
What was your favorite part of Montana?" South Dakota.
Yeah, now from Bozeman to Mount Rushmore.
This guy called ready to defend Montana. And literally, he started off like, "Oh, I heard you guys talking mess about Montana," and he gave you literally nothing.
I asked for two musts that you had to do in Montana, and he gave you South Dakota and North Dakota.
Yeah, from Bozeman to Mount Rushmore, 7.5-hour drive.
I really thought he was going to have like a plethora of things. Like, no, you need to go see this.
There are
that.
So many great hikes, like within like a 30-minute drive from Bozeman.
But I rented a car. I'm not hiking.
What's the expectation there, Al? Just to kind of just see nature. That's
yeah,
it.
Relaxation.
Okay.
I actually do believe I've worked with him long enough. I think his expectation is, if you were going to ask me, find a great little coffee shop local to spend the morning or a couple of hours sitting around and just watching people. And then after that, I have no idea.
Find a brewery.
I remember every day, find a brewery.
So when we went out to play, I remember in college, we went to Montana and played. I snuck out because I just wanted to have a beer, and I drank something called Moose Drool. It wasn't a bad beer.
Moose Drool?
Yeah, I think it was
Moose Drool.
Okay. I'll look for that. Moose Drool.
Yeah, just have...
It's amazing, too, how we've talked about this many times, how different we all are. Like, you said you go on vacation, you want a beach and an ocean, and just leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Eddie wants to go hike and walk and be active, to where I've done, we did one trip like that to California. I've been out there many times. Mm-hmm. One trip we went on, we never stopped, and it was sight after sight and a lot of walking down. I remember getting home, like, I was exhausted.
That's it.
Like, I needed a trip.
I don't ever want to leave a trip feeling I need a break from the trip I just took.
But different for everybody, because that's exactly what he likes to do when he's away. And Al's going away really not knowing what he's going to be doing, which is...
I want to say I'm worried, but I feel like you're going to do great.
Yeah, and I don't want to go with a game plan. And then I feel like I'm in work.
Yeah, but you still want some direction, right?
I have some direction.
Yeah.
The worst thing you don't want to do is wake up and look at each other and say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, I got some pamphlets.
Well, you also don't want to do something that you can do at home.
Correct.
I'm looking at your horseback in here.
That was Arizona.
That's right.
Yeah, try. Figure out what the food's out there. There's a couple reservations. Get weird. You know what I mean? Do something. Do some peyote.
Now, that's the second time you went with get weird.
I feel like Al,
get the sense you want to see photos of Al naked and high.
Yeah, I want to paint it with neon body paint, just running through the woods.
With a giant tattoo on it, covering his nipple. Just right his chest.
A big black bear tattooed on his back.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You should always walk away from it. I feel like every trip you should walk away from an experience and a story.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't want to come back tired.
But you want to feel like I want to go back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You also build buffer days into your trip. So you should be okay, even if you came back tired on Friday. You got Saturday and Sunday.
No, five days
seems like a long time in Montana.
I did a bad job of planning. Coming back Saturday night, then I have an appearance with the radio station Sunday.
Oh, so you have no downtime.
At
Monmouth Park.
Yeah, Monmouth Park.
Exactly. You're going to meet Al at Monmouth Park.
That's right.
What's going on?
We're going to get weird there.
I was getting paid to be there for a few hours. That's what's going on.
And it's close to his house, so who minds, right? Have a good time.
So people just coming to meet you?
Oh, we're going to hang out at the horse race track.
Have you ever done an appearance?
You seem like a Frisbee and tomato sandwich guy, and that just pisses me off.
Have you ever done an appearance where very few people show up? Or have you always been...
It's been
well attended.
I haven't done a lot of appearances. Anytime I've ever done
really, when you were a player, you never, hey, come see Willie Colon at the Smithtown Dodge.
Unless I was like a team appearance, maybe, or I didn't do a lot.
Because there is nothing worse than when they ask you to come to an appearance and you're waiting for people to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Or shows up.
Well, you wait there so long, you just pick up a broom and start cleaning up the place. I've seen that. It's brutal.
It is. It's embarrassing.
Oh, it's not worse when somebody pulls up and like, so what's your name?
Right. Why are you here?
I think my uncle's a fan of the Jets. Can you sign this? Maybe?
And then print your name for me, please. Oh, so true. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come right back. We've got a lot more to do.